I'd like to thank Mr. Gannon for his introduction. He did two things. He shortened my message from a split to a sermonette, so I thank him for that. And he said my name correctly, which I really love. It's rare. It's a strange last name, so I don't blame those that get it wrong. I never feel any angst towards anybody that doesn't say Mackay, but it's spelled M-A-C, capital K-A-Y, and it's pronounced the Scottish way because that's what my father did, so that's what I do. Brethren, I'm really glad to be here. I was listening to Mr. Mez's sermon yesterday, and it struck me that he touched on a lot of beautiful hopes that you and I have. We share a lot of hopes, and I want to talk about one of those in kind of a specific way this afternoon. In preparation for this, I was looking at a list of current conflicts around the world, and I came across a computer map called the Global Conflict Tracker. This computer map, it's managed by a group called the Council on Foreign Relations. That's not important for you to know. But this group constantly tracks global conflicts, and they determine what those conflicts have on the United States. Now, I have not vetted the Council on Foreign Relations, and I don't know if they have any agenda hidden in their activities. I'm definitely not here to advocate for them or advertise for them, but they have a nice map. It worked well for me. It's nicely done. It's one of those where if you hover your mouse over the dots that are on the screen, it'll have a little pop-up and describe what's going on in that location. It's got a map of the world, and on the last time I looked at it was a couple days ago, there were 28 dots on this world map. So these boxes pop up, and in very simple terms, they say what's going on. So, for instance, if you hover over Ukraine, the box will pop up and it'll say, "War in Ukraine, impact on the U.S. critical, conflict status worsening." So if you were to look at this map, you would see that there's trouble in all sorts of places. Myanmar, Yemen, Bangladesh, Pakistan and India are skirmishing as usual. There's huge problems with crime and cartels in Mexico. Whereas, you know, in Mexico, they have a really strong National Guard, and it's in constant conflict with armed soldiers from these drug cartels. And this site says that roughly one-third, this boggled my mind, one-third of Mexico's landmass is currently under the control of cartels. I try to imagine a third of the United States under the control of drug cartels. Picture that. I mean, I know it's not accurate, but what if everything east of the Mississippi was under control of drug cartels? It's not nearly a third, probably, but you get my point. That's a lot of land. Some of the dots on the map represented some really big conflicts. There's war between, you know, Ukraine and Russia. There's ongoing war in the Middle East, as usual. We all remember it was the eighth day just 2 years ago. That was October the 7th, 2023, when Hamas slaughtered more than 1,200 men, women, and children in Israel, committing other atrocities and kidnapping 254 people. It was the largest massacre of Jews since the Holocaust. The Global Conflict Tracker seems to be pretty good. It's showing us where the big battles are taking place. You can consult this map at your leisure, and you can be sure you're not going to find peace in Ukraine. You're not going to find peace in Mexico. You're not going to find peace in the Middle East. But there's a lot that this handy little map will not show you. It can't show you these things. There's a lot of places that don't have peace, but it doesn't show up on this map. The map doesn't show the conflicts that are taking place in millions of homes all around the world. The map doesn't show the conflicts going on in the halls of government in every nation at every level. The map cannot reveal to us conflicts that are taking place between friends, neighbors, families, co-workers, and even church brethren all around the world. There's no map that can show us the incredible, powerful, and pervasive conflict that holds sway over most mankind. Every human heart holds its share of conflict. There's practically no real peace in the world under the sway of Satan's rule. People are in conflict all around us, in conflict about who they are, about what they are. There's even conflict about what's right and what's wrong. Now, you and I, we want peace. I mean, the world really wants peace, at least sensible people do. And you and I share a hope that I want to talk about today. There's great news. Our soon coming king is going to bring peace. He's going to put down all resistance and usher in a time of peace and prosperity that will have no end. We will have peace. So how's that going to come about? In Isaiah, we read that this is not the way of man. It's not a man thing that we can do. We can't bring peace. The coming peace is not going to be the work of mankind. You can't do it. I can't do it. It's simply not in us. We don't have the strength, we don't have the wisdom, and we don't have the influence to bring peace to the earth. Let's look at Isaiah chapter 59. The ways of man are not peace. In Isaiah chapter 59, let's look at verses 7 and 8. I'm using the NIV for this. Isaiah 59, verse 7. Their feet rush into sin. They are swift to shed innocent blood. They pursue evil schemes. Acts of violence mark their ways. The way of peace they do not know. There is no justice in their paths. They have turned them into crooked roads. No one who walks along them will know peace. Humanity does not know peace. Humanity has to learn peace. It's not something that's in our carnal human nature as an inherent trait. It's something that we have to learn. And any politician or a group of leaders who think they can bring peace to the world without the hand of God is deceiving themselves. The way of peace is a lesson that man must learn from God. Let's go back a little bit in Isaiah and check out one of the many names that he claims. Isaiah chapter 9. We might hear this verse again. I think we've heard it before this week. I hope we do. It's beautiful. I love hearing it every time. This time in the New King James Version, Isaiah chapter 9, and we'll just read verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. We're going to look at three different types of peace today. The millennium that we're rehearsing over these days will be filled with wonders. Mr. Mez talked about quite a few of them yesterday. The restoration and the healing of the land. The incredible prosperity that will change the lives of every person on earth. The change in the nature of animals. The personal healing of so many people. People that will be hurt and confused and beaten down by the horrible times they will have just gone through. These people will be healed in mind and in body. Another amazing wonder that's going to sweep the earth is the introduction of true peace. You know the song? Christ will have dominion. Over the whole world, he'll have dominion, and he'll bring all things into order with the help of his saints. The Spirit of God will be poured out, and eventually, the entire world will enjoy peace because God's Spirit brings peace. Galatians 5, you know that one, verse 22, Galatians 5:22. We don't need to turn there, but the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, and lots of other good things. So let's take a look at three types of millennial peace that we're rehearsing during these 8 days. The first on the list is international. International peace. Think about the map from the beginning of the message. All the little dots all over that horrible map, they're going to fade away. They'll be gone. Eventually, they'll all be gone. Without the constant, horrible influence of Satan the devil, people will have a chance to tune into the truth of God's way. A state of peace between every nation, every organization, every political party, every religious group. A state of peace will develop that hasn't existed since the garden. With the guidance of Jesus Christ and his saints, people will learn his ways and find out that those ways really work. People will finally see that most of the reasons for all these conflicts, the reasons for these conflicts are just either just plain silly or really unimportant. When the truth of God's way spreads across the earth, how many of the survivors will see that the false gods that they worshiped were just that? Conflict between religions has been around since Genesis. And now the one true God and his way will be the only way. Not as a punishment, but as a joy and a promise for eternal life and happiness. Not as an I told you so, but as a welcome to the family. Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 4. You can compare this to Micah chapter 4. We've read that this week. If you want to jot that down, it's Micah chapter 4, verse 3. But I'm going to read from Isaiah chapter 2. One of the most promising pieces of scripture you could possibly meditate on. It tells you and me that our mighty God is in control and he has a plan for you. He has a plan for me. He has a plan for the whole world. A wonderful, wonderful plan for peace and joy and well-being. Isaiah 2, verse 4. He shall judge between the nations and rebuke many people. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Real peace will finally, finally spread across the globe. Not a ceasefire, not a temporary pause in hostilities. Real peace, as God's way of life, takes over from our current atmosphere of get, get, get. As love conquers hate, the world will finally learn war no more. The kingdom of God will be over the nations of the world, and international peace will spread. The second of the three types of peace I want to talk about that the world will enjoy is interpersonal peace. We talked about international, and now interpersonal peace. There are people I know who, you might know some of them, born to conflict, it seems like. Downright contrary. My grandfather would call them ornery. There isn't one of us who hasn't been in conflict at one point or another with someone else, but there are some people who seem to almost thrive on conflict and take it in like it's nourishment. It's weird. I have to admit, I occasionally sell God short on this one. What I mean is I slip into thinking there are some things that just can't be fixed. And then I remember I'm not allowed to limit God, and I need to trust in his ability to do whatever he finds fit. Sometimes I'm guilty of believing that there's no way that this person can ever be changed. But God can change them. He can. In every nation, every state, city, town, village, neighborhood, there are people who just don't get along with each other. They don't have peace between them. This is what we mean by interpersonal peace. Husbands and wives, children and parents, teachers and students, brothers and sisters. You name the relationship, and we could quickly find an example where some people just don't get along. Often these interpersonal conflicts, they rise from moral or ethical differences. Sure, there's lots of people that do get along, but the world is full of interpersonal conflict, and our Bible tells us it's going to get worse. Buckle up. But just like the conflicts between nations, this spirit of conflict between you and me will be changed in that wonderful time. As a spirit of cooperation, kindness, and understanding spreads across the world, the little wars between people will fade away. One big factor of this widespread interpersonal peace will be that as people are learning the ways of the true ways of God, and as His knowledge, the knowledge of His ways spread around the world as the waters cover the sea, the moral and ethical issues that many of us face, they'll simply be dissolved. They'll go away. We won't have to debate what's right or wrong. The truth will be clear and no longer up for debate. Maybe you and I are in a conflict with a friend or even a family member who just can't shake off a worldly belief that's totally opposed to the Word of God. We can imagine the day when that worldly belief or that attitude simply goes away and they see the truth and they accept it. There probably aren't many people in this room who haven't had a tough time watching someone you love slip into the world, almost like watching someone drown in slow motion. You try to help. You try to set an example. You try to talk it out. But nothing seems to get through for the time being. It's important for you. It's important for me to take the time to consider that your perfect father and your elder brother have a plan for that person that you love so much. You can see them in your mind, those people you love. Now grasp that God will show them the truth, and it will set them free. He will give them peace in their turn in His good time. It will happen. So there will be peace between you and me. The day's coming. Christ is bringing truth with Him. And this kind of interpersonal peace is closely related to the third and final level of peace that we'll talk about today. The third kind is internal peace. So we had international and then interpersonal and now internal peace. The world without Satan will be an environment where people will have a chance to think clearly, without hatred and conflict constantly rising up to choke them spiritually. As people think spiritually instead of carnally, their minds will find peace. We can't do this on our own. God's Spirit, as we talked about earlier, is absolutely necessary for the human mind to turn towards God and His ways. Romans 8. The ways of the Spirit are very different from the carnal mind. Romans chapter 8, and we'll look at verse 6. Romans 8, verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. As things begin to change, there's going to be a lot of people who'll be limping around, maybe dazed and confused by what they've just been through. People will be physically sick, physically tired, physically injured. They'll also be spiritually sick and spiritually tired. A lot of them, maybe most of them, will be scared and uncertain. What's going on here? But when the healing begins, it'll be amazing. Along with the physical healing, There's going to be a spiritual healing with the peace that only God can provide, a peace we can't even wrap our minds around fully in our current state. Philippians chapter 4. Let's look at Philippians 4 and verse 6. Philippians 4, we'll read verses 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Verse 7, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. Last year, I heard a message back in my home congregation of San Antonio, Texas, and the message really connected with me and is something that I want to touch on today. And the man who wrote that message is in the room, but I'm not going to name him. He'd get mad at me, but I'm just going to use a little bit of your stuff. Thanks, sir. The sermon that he gave was called What's in Your Cup? And it presented a really interesting analogy that made a lot of sense to me. Here's the gist of it. If you're walking down the street, holding your cup in your hand, and somebody bumped into you, if your cup is full of coffee, what's going to spill out? That's right. Bourbon. No, coffee. Maybe you prefer iced tea or water. The point is, when someone bumps into you, whatever's in that cup is going to spill out. Here's the analogy with our lives. We all have a cup, if you will, a cup of what our hearts and minds are filled with. You and I walk down the street with our cups filled with whatever we've chosen to fill them with, or what we've allowed them to be filled with. When life bumps into you, what you have in your cup is going to spill out and probably splash on someone near you. Many times, what spills out of me is not peace. Cut off in traffic, my cup gets bumped, and frustration or even anger might spill out. When I'm faced with the umpteenth challenge of a day that I thought was going to be a piece of cake, a day when I thought I'd have no problems, my cup gets bumped. And what spills out? It should be something that reflects my calling. It shouldn't be anger. It shouldn't be frustration. And it shouldn't be unkindness. I know better. But I need to constantly check that cup and see what I'm filling it with. If it's filled with anger, selfishness, impatience, envy, the spirit of division, I need to empty that. We need to fill our cups with the fruit of the Spirit of God, fruit cups. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Galatians 5. Mr. Joseph mentioned those on the first day, encouraging us to walk in God's Spirit. When life jostles us or gives us a bump, what spills out of us should be these things. If we accidentally splash something on someone else, would you rather it be anger or peace? As we look forward to the millennial reign of Jesus Christ, we know we have some work to do. Learning these good things now so we can teach them now and teach them then. It's been said before during this feast, we're not supposed to wait until Christ returns to start learning this stuff. Brethren, when Christ returns, the Almighty God who will cause lions to eat straw like an ox, and then have those lions lay down and take naps with little lambs, that God will have no trouble putting a spirit of peace in the hearts of man. It sounds funny to say, but in that day, peace is going to spread like wildfire. God is changing the world. We started earlier with international peace and then moved on to interpersonal peace and then ended up with internal peace. The spread of peace under the rule of Jesus Christ and his saints will take place in the reverse order. Internal, individual, personal peace will make interpersonal peace possible. God's first fruits will have the very mind of Christ. If you and I overcome and join our brother in his rule over all things, we'll share his amazing attributes: power, wisdom, patience, justice, love, peace. Our peace will be perfect, and we'll spread it to those we teach. Yes, the first fruits will know peace, and will teach this peace to the battered survivors and those that will be born in those days. As we teach peace in his kingdom, each individual will then learn to be at peace with those around them. Peace between individuals will spread far and wide. This interpersonal peace will naturally result in worldwide, or what we called international peace. As God changes the world, we'll see peace spread and grow. Finally, the great white throne judgment will usher in total, absolute, and endless peace. Let's look at one more scripture. It's always been my favorite thing to hear during a sermon. I'll be using the New Living Translation for this. Isaiah was inspired to write in Isaiah 32. Isaiah 32, and we're going to use verse 1 and then jump a little bit. Isaiah 32, verse 1. Look, a righteous king is coming, and honest princes will rule under him. Like many places in the book of Isaiah, chapter 32 looks forward to the millennium and beyond. The chapter goes on to describe some of the challenges as things are changed from man's way to God's way. It's not necessarily going to be easy. We should not forget that there's going to be a lot of work to do. That's what we're training for. That's why we need to fill those cups right now with the right stuff. Yeah, there's work to do, but the work will be more than worthwhile, and the work will be done with indescribable joy. And then eventually the time will come when the whole world will be at peace. Let's jump down to verse 14. Still, here we are in Isaiah 32. Jump down to verse 14. We'll read 14 through 18. Here's a beautiful transition. The wars that Satan brings are over now, and the world is devastated. But then your brother Jesus Christ takes charge of this world, and it changes under his command. Isaiah 32, verse 14. The palace and the city will be deserted, and busy towns will be empty. Wild donkeys will frolic, and flocks will graze in the empty forts and watchtowers. Verse 15. Until at last the Spirit is poured out on us from heaven. Then the wilderness will become a fertile field, and the fertile field will yield bountiful crops. Justice will rule in the wilderness, and righteousness in the fertile field. Verse 17, and this righteousness will bring peace. Yes, it will bring quietness and confidence forever. My people will live in safety, quietly at home. They will be at rest.